Welcome to the Choose Optimism podcast, a podcast focused on letting you know of the great things optimists are doing in your community. We are in our second series focused on club fundraising and projects throughout Optimist International.
Today we're talking with Chuck Snyder of the West Branch Optimist Club out of West Bank, Michigan. Chuck, thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure.
So, Chuck, one of the things we always talk about on the Optimist podcast is our Optimist story. Tell us a little bit about your Optimist story and how you became an optimist.
Well, it's quite a story, I guess. My wife had joined the Optimist Club, and I'm working out of town most of the time. Was usually working at 7 o'clock in the morning when we meet. And when I would be off, I would go to the club with her. Got interested in it. When I retired, then I joined full time. I was just interested in helping kids, since I have four of my own. Knows what it was. Where am I going? I ended up president for 2 years, lieutenant governor for 3 years, 1 year distinguished, and assistant governor for about 2 years. Right now, I'm chairperson for the camel race, chairperson for essay contest, and I think that covers that part of it.
And the one thing we're going to talk about today is the camel race. Now, we're not racing real camels in this race, are we? Like thoroughbreds?
No, we're not. We still have people that don't know about the camel race here in West Branch yet. They look at you funny when you ask them if they want to go to the camel race or want to sponsor a camel. It's a wooden camel. It's approximately 3 foot by 3 foot on a full cutout. We have wheels on them so we can run them down the table. So that's about where that goes.
But tell us a little bit about the history of that camel races. How did they get started? What made your club want to do this fundraiser?
Well, everybody has a fundraiser of some sort. And we started, when I joined, they were doing a travel log series, and we weren't really getting the turnout that we wanted, because most of the time it was a snowstorm on those particular days for some reason here in Michigan. So they kept looking, and then a couple of the old timers that were there had heard about a camel race in Davison, and they, about four of them, went down there and watched it one evening and came back with the idea that we needed to do a camel race. That's pretty much where it got started. We're working on our 15th year right now, so it's been very, very good for us.
Now tell us a little bit about the process to get to the camel race. How do you guys get ready for the camel race?
Oh, that starts in December. Usually I start putting stuff together, getting workers around to sell ads. Right now I think I have two of us that sell camels and three, four of us that sell ads along with it, so we can get started that way. Of course, the camels at one point in time had to be all made up ahead of time. Occasionally we have to remake one due to the fact that somebody runs over it, drops something on them, something in that order. After I kind of get a committee together, we have a meeting either just before New Year's or right after New Year's. We start selling camels through month of January and ads in February.
Now, when you sell a camel, tell us what selling a camel means.
Well, you sell the camel, it's kind of like a lease on the camel. Although we have had some people keep their camels for 15 years and just keep donating back. They get their camel. There are a set of guidelines as far as how big they can be made or the weight of them. This consists, once they do and we're getting ready to for the camel race, we have found that it's easier for two or three of us to go around with a trailer and pick all these camels up, as many as possible anyway. I think we're upwards of about 20 right now to pick up.
And the businesses, do they decorate the camels in the style of their business, or what are some of the things that we do when they decorate the camels?
Camels are decorated however they want. We do have one that has a box on it, like a delivery truck. That's probably our biggest one. It is a little over length of what it was, but it's the way it came in the very first day, so it's kind of grandfathered in. We have had a group bring in, a bumblebee 1 year, Duck Dynasty, a dragon. They had a couple, three other ones in there that they have thrown in at us too. But they've left for the majority of them to go to Florida. But luckily, I just got a phone call the other day wanting to know if they had a camel, if we had a camel. So
and then When you sell ads, you have like a program that you sell for the ads?
We sell business cards. We have a little booklet. Basically, we sell a third, two-thirds, or a full-page ad, 25, 50, and 75. We don't seem to have a whole lot of block at the $25 ads, so we've kind of left them at that. Although this year we have had some jump up to $50 ads.
So when you're hitting the ground running, tell us a little bit about race day. What are some of the things that you get ready for race day for to get these camels going and part of the fundraising and all the things that happen that day to have fun for this fundraiser?
Well, we usually start about noon. We have to, at the KC Hall where we hold this, we pretty much have to turn all the tables around the opposite direction of what they're set up to be. We set up for about 300 right now. We're finding that the easier it is for a person to get out from the table, the more they'll spend. So we've dropped we started out at 400, we're down to 300 now. And it's a lot easier for people to get out and move around in between races. But setting up the tables, putting cloths on the tables, setting up the kitchen. We have finger food that we offer for free. That's all put together. We set the camels up. We put our racetrack up and we set the camels on top of the racetrack, line them all up in order as they go. So when you take them off, you take them off in order too. Otherwise, you're totally hunting for a camel for a particular race. And if you set them all six of them in one group, you don't have to worry about it. You just bring them out. They're all set on the table, like I said. Then we put cans by them and they're judged best dressed, most popular. We have a couple of people we designate to go around and judge the best dressed.
Are there anything that are happening during these races? Like, are there like side raffles going on while you're doing this? Or is there a lot of other stuff going on during these races?
Once the races start, we have a 50-50 drawing in between, I think, three or four of them. And then we have a heads and tails in between one. We also do a deck of cards, sell them for $10, tear the card in half. We have about five or six items that we go out and buy, which could be tool bag, tools, different things. We try to do enough so everybody is interested in something. Last year we actually had a freezer donated, just a small chest freezer was donated to us for that, which really drew in. So everybody wanted the freezer.
So it was a heads and tails game. Is that, how do you play heads or tails with a big group like that?
Actually, it's kind of easy. We just have everybody pass $2 to the end of the table, pick them up, and you stand up and somebody flips a coin. And it's a matter of which way whether it's heads or tails, where your hands are placed. They're on your head and tails are up, then you sit down. You go till we're down to the last two, three, whichever it happens to be. After it gets down to so much, we always bring the contestants up front. Then the winner, I think it's $100 we give them.
So on the camel, well, these are obviously happening in between the races. Tell us a little bit about the size of the camels. Like, are they on the tables that they have and the process of the race for the camel?
When we get all done judging and everything, the tracks are set up on tables themselves, so everybody can see all the camels pretty much from wherever you want to be in that room. The camels are dressed. We have chains that we put around the number on the camels so that marks the camel on which lane it's actually in. So if there's a discrepancy, the camel has a tag on it. It goes with lane three and so down all the way through. As the camels move down the track, people are yelling and screaming. We usually get two people out of the audience to throw our cubes, which the cubes match the colors on the track itself. We have four cubes that we use. We alternate. It may be through one race we use halfway through two sets of cubes and switch to the other set of cubes to finish the race, just to try to keep things as square as can be, because occasionally one camel that doesn't move.
So how many lanes are in when you're racing the camels?
We have six lanes. Six camels race at a time. We have six winners, and then we move to the championship or overall winner bracket as the seventh race.
And tell us a little bit about the rolling process of, is it like a giant dice that you roll for this to move the camels up?
They're approximately 12 inches in diameter or square. We started out with dice, and then the state told us we couldn't do dice anymore. So believe it or not, our waitress says, well, why don't you just do cubes? where we were actually meeting that day. She wasn't even a member when she told us. So we got together, and a couple of the ladies made up or sewed colors together to cover up our dice. And we've just left them. We haven't changed at all. It works real good.
And so when the camels are moving, are you able to bet on them, or is there a process that you have something to make people incentivized to want to win? Or tell us a little bit about that during the camel races.
Well, the betting is all done before the race. And we take we have three betting tables set up. They have, I want to say, six betting tickets on the table. I'm not sure how many actually go on it. And then they, once the betting is closed, then they pick up what's left on the tables, take them to the back. We have them all set up on boards. So there's holes in the end of them. And they're all set up so they don't slide around or anything. And they take them to the back. They count the number of betting slips that are gone, put it in the computer, and the computer pops out whatever odds for each camel. This is done in between each race, along with us doing 50-50s between each race.
And so is that considered gambling? Do you need a license or something with the state to be able to do these horse camel races?
That's the very first process, is applying for a camel racing license, yes. It's good for the day.
Well, you just pay a one-time fee to the state?
Yes, one-time fee to the state. We do not sell alcohol.
So you do not sell alcohol, you said?
We do not sell alcohol. We allow them to bring their own in, but we don't sell alcohol, and we don't let anyone in under 21.
And tell us a little bit about the other things that happened that day. I mean, obviously there's so much going on and a lot of moving pieces to this, but apparently you guys have been very successful if you've been doing it for 15 years.
Yeah, well, we have the same people doing it. So everybody is pretty much in tune. We have one guy that is kind of a financial whiz. He likes spreadsheets, and he pretty much puts everything now on a spreadsheet for this year. So when it comes around next year, he'll give us the spreadsheet we did last year, and we know where we're standing pretty much to start with. The gal that's in charge of the food has been doing it for quite some time. So she pretty much knows what she's got to buy. And the women of the club get in with cookies and cakes and stuff like that. We usually end up buying pizza for the work crew just before the camel races, so everybody's full. Once we start, we don't stop.
So there's a lot of work that goes into this fundraiser, but what is a typical revenue for your club after it is all said and done between the races and the raffles? Because there's a lot of moving pieces, but it sounds like it's a lot of fun as well.
It's a lot of fun. We even working it have fun just watching what's going on. Normally, in the general area, it would be between 10,000 and 14,000, I would say, maybe, is what we take home. We make a little bit more than that, but we have to pay. Some stuff is donated, but like we have to pay for the pizza. We pay for the prizes. We get a discount on most of our bigger prizes, but we still pay for them. Unless somebody wants to donate something, then we'll just add it in. But that we have bankers that handle the money at the window. We have pop and potato chips and popcorn available for anybody wanting mix or just something to munch on in between.
So there's a lot of fun to be had with these. Are there any other clubs around you that are other variations that you know of the camel races?
We have one that's a little way south of us that came up one more year and took a look at it. They put their own spin on it. I believe they still use camels, but I know they serve a dinner, and then I don't know if they have auction items or not. I have not been there, so I do not know. I know another one in the southern part switched over to pigs instead of camels. I think there's a couple other variations in the state along with that. I think there's somebody in Fulton Lake has done it from us, so we must be doing pretty good.
Well, obviously, if you guys are making, you know, $10,000 to $15,000 a year, and it sounds like it's a great fundraiser and a great time to be had by all.
It is. One thing I guess probably I never mentioned was we do give trophies out for each race winner. And then there's a little bigger one for the overall trophy.
Well, Chuck, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you getting on and sharing your club's fundraiser with other clubs, because maybe there might be a club out there that's inspired to have a reindeer race or a thoroughbred race or something along that line and model it after you to be just as successful as your club has been.
Yep, there's a good possibility. I mean, it just seems to be our better one rather than making a half a dozen smaller ones. This one seems to have caught on. It gives everybody, too, in March, a chance to get out for a night and have a little fun instead of being stuck in the house, although this year's snowfall has not kept anybody inside to speak of.
Well, like I said, Rick, I appreciate you taking the time to share your knowledge, and we just appreciate you sharing the joy of optimism with everybody on our Optimist Podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Choose Optimism Podcast. This series is focused on club fundraising and projects throughout our Optimist International family. We are hoping to inspire other clubs to pick up new fundraisers and new ideas to take back to their clubs and improve their communities in better ways. If you are interested in becoming an Optimist, please find us on optimist.org, or better yet, reach out to a local Optimist club in your community.